Hello, welcome to Restoration. This podcast is an interview of Sean Craig by David James. Sadly, the first portion of the interview was not recorded, but you'll be blessed by what Sean has to share, how God has worked in his life and brought him to a place of solid recovery. Thanks for listening.
That we do in this program, and I kind of thought I was going to be able to come in and get the osmosis thing, and God would make me okay. I didn't really have to do that much, the fact of the matter is, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And I also had somebody else in the program tell me the way I do anything is the way I do everything. So, and it's very true. It wasn't until I decided to start really, really putting the work in that things really started to change in my life. And I say that, I've been in the program since 1999 is when I first made it into the doors of 12-step recovery. And, the first time I came in was incarceration brought me in the door of the program, in the doors. And I was like, I'll do whatever it takes, as long as I don't have to go back to that place. And I did what it took for a little while, but the fear of that incarceration, the fear of jail kind of wore off, and it was no longer, it wasn't really a life change. It was just about, doing what I had to do to get by. I just don't want to go back to jail. And, it wasn't until the last, this last 10 months, I'm coming up on 10 months, and, it wasn't until then that, I got to the bottom of all my reserves and all the things that I thought could make me, feel good, feel okay with me. I got to a point where I was so broken that I believe personally that God got me to that point, where he allowed me to get to a spot where I said, that's it.
I love how you talked about the surrender right there, And the thing for an alcoholic and an addict, again, that a lot of people who don't suffer with that don't understand is that, fear of consequences will keep us from not drinking or drugging for a little while. But if you're truly alcoholic or addict, it's only a spiritual experience. It's only having a God in your life and having a total psychic change that will bring about complete recovery. And that's so elusive for us because we get relief. We come into the program for a while and we stop for a while. We get relief. Things get a little bit better. And then we think, I really don't have to do much more than this, But it's until we get that complete broken surrender. Tell us briefly about, the need to be connected with, with a home group, a sponsor, accountability partners, was that lacking the first time you tried recovery, and how is it working for you now?
I had, when I first came in 99, I had jumped into the program, and I was doing I was trying to do the conventions and do the service work, and I had a sponsor. I love the one day at a time thing because I was doing really well. I mean, on the surface, everything was really good, and that goes back to the room being clean and all the Star Wars figures being lined up just right, because I had the job, and I had the money, and I had the house, and I had the car, and I was in school and finishing a degree, and I had everything lined up. I had the girlfriend. I had everything just the way it should be, but the point is that that was after being in the program for several years, and it's like I got to that point that you talk about. I had got there in my mind. I'm there. It's good. My life is good now. I've got what I need, and I kind of slacked off. And the enemy doesn't rest, and addiction doesn't rest. My drug of choice was cocaine. Crack cocaine and alcohol, and that thing don't lay down. And I, you know, and I'm not trying to put myself on a different level at anybody. I'm sure that other addictions are just as, you know, just as massive as mine was for me. But for me, I finally came to a point that I realized that the second that I think I've got it licked and the second I think I've got control over it, I'm dead. And it's the beginning of the end. I mean, as soon as I take on that mindset, that's one thing that I've learned and that I hope I don't ever forget. And I pray to God every morning that he doesn't let me forget that in one day. So
it's still one day at a time in some respects, isn't it?
It's still one day at a time. 1 minute at a time sometimes.
Yeah. Is there a particular step or event in your recovery this time that especially stands out as being really profound or significant, something, you know, like a defining moment in your recovery that you can kind of put your finger on and share?
Step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. I want to just briefly put this, you know, paint this picture, and this is so big for me because I believe with all my heart that it was finally where the point where I came to. It was complete surrender. It's the only time I ever felt this way is that I'd moved out to South Carolina chasing this girl, and some of you guys know her. I think I stood up on stage here several years ago and I love this woman. Okay. And we're going to have a life together and everything's going to be great and this and that. And well, we met in treatment.
First clue.
That's it. And he's my sponsor too. So, and that's the thing he said. Okay, well, let's break this down a little bit. You know, first of all, you met her in treatment. And it's kind of like, all right, so that's it. You know, and two sick people don't make a well person, and that's all I'll say about that. But basically, I went out there, you know, disregarding the things that the people in the program were telling me, disregarding what I knew God was telling me. I turned my back and went on my own way again, and I ended up out there, and it was a complete and total disaster. And we traded in and out, in and out, in and out. I ended up in jail. The end result was just really catastrophic for me because she left on a, it was a Friday night, and we had just gone to a meeting, and I was going out to eat with my sponsor, and I came back home and she was gone. And she struggles with her own addiction, and basically she left, and that was it. Last I knew was a month later, and I was talking to her grandparents, and they still hadn't seen her. So I was there for like 5 days before I finally decided to vacate, and I was there with me and God. And I was in the Word, and I was on my knees, and I was pacing the yard. And then I was home, I was back at the house, and I was down on my knees, and then I was face flat, crying my eyes out, and back in the Word, and praying. And I just threw my hands up to God, and I said, all right, you got to show me what to do, because I have no clue what to do. And I had two little kids there too, her kids. And I really had no clue what to do, what was right, what was wrong. And you know, I had one of those burning bush type of experiences. She came home, and I'd been praying and praying for days, and she came home. And I prayed that night. I was like, I don't know if this is an answer from you or what you're trying to show me or if this is what you want, because I know that for all this time that we've been together, I know that it's kind of been against your will. And he just kind of said, just stay still, you know? And I did. And I got up the next day, and she ate. And, I mean, this is after her being gone for several days. And this is, I know it's kind of mixing up. I'm getting a little mixed up because it was really 5 days, and then she disappeared again. And then it had been a month since anybody had seen her. But those 5 days, she came home. And I didn't know what to do. And the next day, she got up, she took a shower, she jumped in her car, and she left again. And that was just it, you know. It was like God was just right there just saying, okay, here's what you need to do, you know. Pack your stuff. You gotta go. And it's time for this chapter to be over with. And I just, you know, I really knew it was the voice of God, and I really knew that it was time for things to change in my life. And it hurt. Oh, man, it hurt so bad. But I know it was God, because no matter how bad it hurt, every step was there for me. You know, it was like I didn't want to take the steps, but he gave me the strength to take them, just to go back in the bedroom and to pack everything up. And I called my sponsor, and my sponsor was like, all right, I'll be there in a couple of hours. I was like, a couple of hours, man. It's like, I don't think I can wait a couple of hours. He's like, just I'll be there. And then I just started slowly just packing things up. And it was like with everything I did, it was like a little bit, it was like I was broken that much more, but I was strengthened that much more. It was just strange. I can't even describe, because it's totally against me. For me, it was me would be to stay and to wait and to do it my way and to hope and you know, and something that's so broken and so done and had been for so long, I just hang on to that stuff, you know.
I really like how you just described the, you know, throughout history, God calls his people to take steps in obedience without revealing the whole plan. You know, whether it was Abraham, you know, saying, I'm going to give you a new land, but you just need to leave now, you know, and not going, getting to know what's going to happen, but just that the miracle happens when we step out in faith and, you know, being so broken and at that turning point and saying, God, I'm going to trust and follow you, even though it you know, this whole thing looks like a smoking hole disaster, you know.
Right.
And that's really awesome that, you know, that you finally kind of just followed God and said, I'm going to be obedient.
And there were a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of really hard times in there. It was 2 months before I got home, but God put everything in my path. As soon as I always tell that, is that as soon as I stepped foot off of that porch, it was just like, bam, my probation officer called me. It's like, we just want to let you know, and we're going to work with you full force on this deal. You know, we're going to try to get you home, get you off probation early. So, okay, so stay clean. You need to come in and see me next week. And I go see him, and I'd give him a clean test. And then this other guy calls me. We got this new house opening up, and it's over here. It's a little halfway house, and we got, you know, some job opportunities opening up here and there. And we just, you know, we got an opening for you. We got a bed. I go over there. It's a brand new house, hardwood floors, got my own room. I mean, it's like, you know, and then I'm talking to my probation officer the whole time. It's like, we got it in the works, you know. We just need you to pay off your dues. A few days later, I get a job. I'm in South Carolina, the third worst economy in the nation at the time. And I get a great job with a construction company making good money. It's like, so I could pay this stuff off. Every night I was just like, wow, 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 God, you are really alive. And, you know, that's when it really started, you know. And then I had probation was supposed to go until October, and it was April, and I got a call, and the probation officer said, come down, fill your paperwork out, man. You're going home.
Wow, that's so
awesome.
And I was
like, wow, you know.
That is. That's really cool. Is there, you know, anything else you'd like to leave us with, like anything that was special in your recovery, a song or a verse or anything like that you'd want to share?
Yeah, I've got one thing that I want to say, and it's something that I've found out over the last few sessions that I've had. And for a lot of time, or a lot of years in my life, especially since I've been in recovery, I always identify with that failure, with the drug addict, with, you know, because I'm 38 years old. I started using when I was 11, and life's been on a downhill spiral since 11, basically, you know, with a few little, but basically down. And now I'm in college. I'm fixing to be done with my degree. I'm on the honor roll. I just got inducted to Honor Society and my psychology club. I'll graduate with honors provided my GPA stays up. And I don't say this. The only reason I say this is because, you know, God, through me, God has a plan. And when I'm ready to stop fighting him, he's going to reveal that plan to me. When I'm ready to stop doing it my way And one thing my therapist told me is like, man, you talk, and I haven't even known him that long, but he's got me pegged. He's like, you talk, and I hear you talk, and I hear all these buts, and it's like you identify with that failure, the drug addict, the homeless guy. He's like, how about the honor roll student, the college student, the guy who's putting his life back together, the guy who's trying to serve his fellow man and serve the Lord today and not act out that way. It's like when you start identifying with that and plug into that with him, it's all the way up, you know. So I'm headed up today, and I'm gonna read this. And I was really nervous before doing this, and I just put it again in God's hands, and man, last time I got up here, I think I was like, nothing was coming out, and I couldn't do it. And this time, man, God's really is amazing. And this is by Max Lucado, and it's a I read it every day when I was in South Carolina. I read this thing every day, and I saw it a couple years ago in a Bible study that I was doing. It's called Inspiration, and it says, "You and I are on a great climb. The wall is high, and the stakes are higher. You took your first step the day you confessed Christ as the Son of God, and He gave you His harness, the Holy Spirit, and in your hands He placed a rope, His Word. Your first steps were confident and strong, but with the journey came weariness, and with the height came fear. And you lost your footing, and you lost your focus, you lost your grip, and you fell. For a moment which seemed like forever, you tumbled wildly out of control, out of self-control, disoriented, dislodged, falling. But then the rope tightened, and the tumble ceased, and you hung in the harness and found it to be strong. And you grasped the rope and found it to be true. You looked at your guide and found Jesus securing your soul. With a sheepish confession, you smiled at him and he smiled at you, and the journey resumed. Now you're wiser. You have learned to go slowly. You're careful. You're cautious. But you're also confident. You trust the rope. You rely on the harness. And though you can't see your guide, you know him. You know he's strong. You know he's able to keep you from falling. And you know that you're only a few more steps from the top. So whatever you do, don't quit." And this is to everybody who's in this thing. Don't quit. "Though your falls are great, his strength is greater. You will make it. You will see the summit. You will stand at the top. And when you get there, the first thing you'll do is join with all the others who have made the climb and sing this verse. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore." And that's Jude 24 and 25. And I love that.
Wow. Thank you, Sean. That was awesome. Thank you. It was really cool. I really love how you just described how we don't recover until we truly believe deep in our hearts that our God is greater than our addiction. And that our God is stronger than any frailty, than any failing that we have. So, is there a scripture verse that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I love Proverbs 3:5-6, and it's "Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding." I'm finally there. I mean, I feel like I'm finally like, no, that ain't working. So. Yeah, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall set your path straight." Yeah, I love that one.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah. We love you, man. Right. Thanks. On.